Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for chosen people, the Jewish people. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the state of Israel, Lord, for the miracle of the state of Israel, that it would, its resurrection, Lord, it's like a root out of dry ground, out of a desert. When Mark Twain visited the Holy Land in the 1880s, I believe, he looked around and he wouldn't see anything for miles and miles. He wouldn't see a person, and it was just a barren, howling desert. And you have made the desert bloom, Lord. Since then, you have filled the mountains and the cities and the valleys and the towns with buildings and people and animals and cars. It's just he'd spin in his grave if he knew what was going on there today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have rebuilt Israel, and we thank you, Lord, that you just are the Shomer Yisrael, the guardian, the keeper of Israel, Lord, that you shine a light on all the evil schemes of the enemy to destroy her and to destroy the Jewish people. Pray, Lord, that their knives would drop, that they would cut themselves with their own knives. Pray that their guns would jam. Pray that their cars would stall when they try to run over people on the sidewalk. We pray, Lord, that their rockets would blow up on the launch pad or land in the desert, that they would not harm any people, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the wisdom of Benjamin Netanyahu. I pray, Lord, for my friend Dr. Eli Nach, Lord, for his success, and I thank you for my friend, Lord. I pray for his family and all the people in the Knesset, Lord, that you would bless them and help them to do your will and walk out your prophetic plan, Lord, and also that Aliyah, that they would open their hearts and change the laws and let Aliyah for the Messianics and those who love Israel become part of the law of the land. I pray, Lord, for our leaders here in America, for Joel Chernoff, Lord, and for the leaders of the Messianic Jewish Alliance. I pray for the executive committee and the steering committee. Lord, I pray for their wisdom. I pray that they would walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, not turning to the left or the right, that they would hear your prophetic voice, that they would do your will, that they would father the rabbis that they lead. I pray that they would father them and that they would lead us in righteousness, and that you would give Joel Chernoff vision, and that he would walk in your ways and in your paths, Lord. Get a hold of him and bless his wife, Lord, Miriam. We pray, Lord, for her the destiny of her calling. And for all the rabbis today, Lord, I pray for them, for their services, that they are bold and prophetic. I pray, Lord, that those who are sick and in need, that you meet their needs and encourage their hearts, strengthen the feeble ones, Lord. And I pray also for the salvation of the Jewish people, that the scales will fall from their eyes and that they will come to know their Messiah, that you will come and to each one individually and reveal yourself as the Son of God in that unique and special way that only you can do for each one of us, Lord. We just pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. I pray for my mother, Harriet, today, that she's able to breathe, that she rests and gets sleep, and that she comes to know her Messiah. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
That was good.
And the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself.
For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Manahu, Aharon.
והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God,
the Lord is one.
Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I'd like to ask Greg and Isaac if they'd like to come and carry the Torah, and Charlie if you would open the ark for us. And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai ba'ein kemasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimsheltecha b'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imlot li'olam ba'ed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
See, if people in California prayed that prayer, they might get some rain.
Bye. Vayehi ben Soharom ve'ema Moshe. Kuna Adonai lefutzoi becha. V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. Ki mitzion tetze Torah. Ki mitzion tetze Torah. Le'amo Yisrael bihidushato. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Le'amo Yisrael bihidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamavora,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Vahed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Vahed, Baruch Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bakar Bani Mikol Ha'amim, Benatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Adonai Notei Matorah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. And we want to welcome the folks watching us on live stream today. Everybody say hello. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
We wish you Shabbat shalom. We're glad you're here. And we just pray that you are blessed today. We are our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we welcome you. Enjoy the service. We're going to have Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord, a little bit later. So if you'd like to prepare some matzah or crackers and some fruit of the vine for the Lord's table, then get that ready for yourself, and you can join us. And God bless you now as Mr. Anthony Cody. He's the most famous Torah Midrash man. He's the Midrash man.
Yeah.
Is he the Midrash man?
Thanks.
He is the Midrash man in the mountains.
Yeah.
The mountain Midrash man. Okay. Go for it, Anthony.
Okay. Today, thank you for those kind words. I usually don't get kind words, so I appreciate them. Yeah, you have to come to Shabbat to get kind words. Yeah. Okay, we're starting a whole new book. It's the last book of the Torah called Devarim, or Deuteronomy, if you've got another version of it. And it's really, Devarim means words, and it's in Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1 through chapter 3. And the half Torah I'm going to mention just a little bit today about the half Torah is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. This is the Torah portion that's always done just before the ninth of Av, which is probably the saddest day on the Hebrew calendar. I guess it is the saddest day. But today, starting with Moses, he is retelling the first four books of the Torah. He's reciting it again to the Jewish people. So it's the words of Moses. The Torah, you know, is a book that, if actually the Torah precedes the world that we live in. It descends and encloses itself with our world. If you read the Torah, you'll find that it speaks of a lot of ordinary things, such as agriculture and how to plant your fields and let them lie in the Shemitah, not to plant on the seventh year. It tells us how to conduct business practices. If you have a business, it tells you to give the customer a fair measure of what they're purchasing. It also gives us instructions about marriage and how to raise a family. So it's a very important part, should be a very important part of our life. You see, but the essence of the Torah is God's will and God's wisdom in perfect unity. That's what the Torah is all about. And we see today that Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he speaks, you know, about the promise that God made to Abraham, and the fact that in the Israelites, or the stars would be as the stars of the sky. And if you look today, God has multiplied the stars in heaven as he has the Jewish nation. They have grown, and they live in the land. You see, the imminent crossing that the Israelites have traveled, it's about 200 miles from Mount Sinai to the land of Israel. And so it's an 11-day journey, and that's just part of what they're doing, is he's recalling all of the things from the Torah. So their crossing of the Jordan River that he will not make, it will be Joshua and Caleb that will eventually lead the Israelites across the Jordan River. But the crossing of the Jordan River was a spiritual as well as a geographic crossing. You know, if you look back, as Moses is telling them, they had divine favor. They journeyed through the desert. It took them 3 days to leave Egypt, but they've wandered for 40-plus years to get to the land of Canaan. They ate manna. They drank water that was bitter. And their garments never did wear out. That would not be very good for stores today that sew garments that did not wear out. They probably wouldn't want to do that. But their garments never wore out. God completely put a dome around them and protected them all those years. And when they entered the land of Israel, it would be a land totally different. God would no longer provide. They would have to learn something new, and that was to work. They would have to work. They would have to plant the vineyards. They would have to plow the fields. But God says, you will live, inherit that land. You will work the land. You will plant the fields. You will plant the vineyards, and you will eat the fruits of your labor. That's true today. Israel is a land that's most unusual when you look at the rest of the world. It produces more milk and more honey, more flowers, and probably, I think, more technology that's really advanced than any other nation in the world. It's very advanced in medically, all this bio things that are going around. It starts in Israel. There's a lot going on there. God is continuing to bless the land of Israel. But Moses is telling them to listen and obey, and that's the call today, is for we are to listen and to obey the present day, because one day, if we survive, we will cross that Jordan River also, just like the Israelites did. And we must promise, and there's still a great promise that's coming together, that Yeshua will be in that land, and he will unite every day, everyone. It will truly be the day of redemption, will be when Yeshua returns, and all of the followers are gathered together with him, and we all will cross the Jordan River. Moses recants the failures and the concerns, and I think the three greatest things that befell the Israelites was the golden calf, the spies, and the murmurings that they made as they traveled. They just couldn't seem to get it together, that they continued to murmur about first one thing and another. But God is calling us from his word today to be responsible for our mistakes. We have to be responsible. And if you look at the Torah, Yeshua came to fill the Torah. A lot of people say, well, he came and he destroyed the law, but that's not what he did. He came to fill the Torah. He did not come to abolish or to destroy it, because after all, he is the target of the Torah. He is the Torah, so he'd be destroying himself. So Yeshua will come again, and we will have all of the things in our hearts that we'll need to know. We won't have to have anyone to touch and to tell us things. And so Israel, you know, they were slow about believing fully in God and the things that God had. But, you know, if you look, and just to jump over to the Haftorah just for a moment, it's the vision of Isaiah, and hopefully you can go read it. It's chapter 1 of Isaiah, and it calls us that we all need a vision in order to live every day. You got to have a vision or a goal, and you got to keep your head up to run your goal. And I used to run track years ago, and one of the things the coaches said was, you got to look up when you're running, because if you're looking down, you're not going to get very far. And I used to fall a lot, but you have to look up. You got to look ahead, because the reward is not behind you, it's not beside of you, it's not beneath you, but it's in front of you. Yeshua said, when I come, I will bring my reward with me. So the Heavenly Father still requires us to build a place for him to dwell. That is still the call. And that is the vision of Isaiah after the two temples were destroyed, that another temple will eventually be constructed in Jerusalem. Where at? That's yet to be decided, but God will make the move when the time is right. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter into the kingdom." Luke 6 tells us, "Why call me Lord, and you do not do the things that I command you?" John 10 tells us that the scriptures cannot be broken. The Torah is not for salvation, but it's sanctification. It tells us how to live our lives and lessons of life once we meet Yeshua and put him at the center of our life. He is our target. And then you can live. You can take the Torah and you can fully understand how God wants you to live it when Yeshua lives inside of you. And just to close this morning, John 3:17 tells us that Yeshua came not to condemn the world, but by him the world would be saved. And that is the cry today, that the world would be saved. Shabbat shalom.
Zot HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al-Pi Adonai B'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. You may be seated. And that last scripture verse comes actually from the Book of Lamentations, which today, as Anthony briefly mentioned, this weekend, or starting Sunday night, tomorrow night, Monday, and Tuesday, is what's called Tish B'Av, or the ninth of Av. And I've got some papers out there if you'd like to learn more about this particular holiday. It's really a holiday that's leading up to the fall feasts. And as Anthony said, it's the saddest day, but it's also a day of hope. And it's a day on which many really sad things happened to the temple and to the Jewish people. And so we remember that. And it's called the Ninth of Av, or Tish B'Av. And on this particular day, they say that the temple was destroyed both times on this very single day. So with that being said, we are having a prophecy conference on the holiday. of Tish B'Av, July 31st and August 1st. And so I think it's very fitting. We were discussing it yesterday this week, and it all came up very quickly, put together this prophecy conference that we're doing on Monday and Tuesday. And so I happened to be looking over everything that we're going to do for Shabbat, and I told Rabbi, I said, do you know that this is Tish B'Av that we're having our prophecy conference on? And he said, no, I didn't realize that. So anyway, I think it's really fitting, and it's prophetic. So God, if this is prophetic, then I think it's important that we'll be there. Amen? He may have some. Do you think he might have something to tell you? Yeah. It's not just that Rabbi Joe might have something to say, but when God comes on his feasts, say, when God has a feast, then he has something to say. So I think we ought to be there, don't you?
Yeah. Amen. Can I just say something for a second? I was approached a couple months ago by this couple out in Oregon. I'd never heard of them. I went on my rabbi's internet forum to 150 or 200 rabbis, and I said, does anybody know about this? Who these people are? They want to come speak in my congregation. They're calling me from Oregon. And I said, I don't know. Nobody knows you. None of the rabbis knew who they were. Nobody responded. And I said, I just kind of put it off. And then Shimrit Haynes from Zemer Lavav called me up and said, they're wonderful people. You got to have them. We've had Zemer Lavav here, a music group, many times. And so she said, you've got to have them come. They're wonderful. And I said, okay, well, that was helpful. And then we had a dance seminar a week ago, and Ralph Seda from Ralph and Mindy Seda of the dance seminar, he said to me, you got this Patrick Lombroso who's coming. You should really have him come. He's wonderful. They're very dear friends of ours, and you really need to have them come. I said, well, okay, that's the way I operate. Confirmations, testimony of two, reputable people, telling me. Have these people, and I said, okay. I said, when can you come? They said either this week, right now, this weekend, or next weekend. I said, let's make it next weekend. And so they're coming next Monday night and Tuesday night. It's not next weekend, but next Monday and Tuesday. So we set up a prophecy conference for Monday night, Tuesday day, especially for people who can't drive at night. And then Tuesday night. So it's going to be Monday night next week, July 31st. Then Tuesday, two classes during the day starting at 10 a.m., then a lunch break, and then a second class at 12:45. And then we're going to come back at 6 o'clock for worship and more teaching till 9 on Tuesday. So it's a mini prophecy conference. Go to our website. Is it on our website? You can go to For Zion's Sake on Facebook. If you're interested in finding out about it, go to For Zion's Sake Ministries on Facebook. You can look up. You'll see the blood red moon right there. Patrick's going to teach on the blood red moon. He's going to teach on the alignment of the planets in September. He's going to teach on signs in the heavens and the rebuilding of the temple. He's writing a book on Revelation. He's written two books already on other subjects. And I'm an international prophecy teacher and conference speaker, and I'll be teaching on what's going on with Donald Trump right now, what God's doing with Donald Trump, and where we're heading, where God's taking us in the next 7 years, and I'll be teaching on the beast and the lion, the leopard, the bear, and the dragon. I'll be talking about the beasts of Daniel and Revelation, and we'll be teaching on how to interpret prophecy. So come on out and join us. Bring your friends, bring your Sunday school class, and join us next Monday and Tuesday night, July 31st and August 1st. And everybody here, we hope you'll come too as well. Amen?
Amen. All right, and there's flyers back there. Charlie, raise your hand if you'd like a flyer, because I'll hand it out to you. Raise your hand. It's got all the details on it. Up here, Jean and Claudia and Madonna.
And if you're watching online and you'd like information, if you grab yourself a pen, I'll give you our phone number in a minute, and you can contact us or our website. I'll give you time to get a pen, and then I'll give you that information. I'm having flabby microphone syndrome. Do we have another stand?
Praise the Lord. So, and what I was saying about Lamentations is it's normally read on this this solemn day, the Book of Lamentations, and of course we. That portion of scripture comes every time after we close the Torah, and that's a famous, or it's a common scripture to be read during the ninth of Av. So if you'd like to go to your Bible at some point this week and read Lamentations, that would be an appropriate time. So if, and also if you want to know more about Tish B'Av, it's on the table out there as well. Okay? All right, and... I think we're all family here. I do want to mention we were having a going away celebration for Debbie Zamora, and she's not here. So we'll have cake and ice cream anyway. And I do have a card, and I'm going to start this around. If we would just write our thoughts and wishes. Debbie's moving to Idaho, and she's buying a house out there, moving towards closer to her son, to be with her son and her family, grandkids, and she's been wanting to do that for a long time. So we just, if you get a chance to call her and wish her well, please do so and keep in touch. I hope she keeps in touch with us, and she's been a big part of our ministry for a long time. Amen. A dancer and just a prayer warrior, and so we thank the Lord for Debbie Zamora. And so okay. And so. Then, wait. Yes, just one more thing on the schedule. We have Roy and Mary Kendall coming also on August 19th. So just pencil that in. I'll get you more information. But the Kendalls are from Israel, and he is worship leader also, and does a lot of things in Israel, in Jerusalem. They have a house there, and they host people, and they just do a lot of praying and a lot of ministry to the Jewish people there in Jerusalem. And so we're looking forward to having Roy and Mary. They've been on the scene for a long time, 25 plus years in the Messianic and around the Messianic community. I'm not sure if they're part of the Messianic congregation over there, but they are in the Messianic world. So I hope that you all put that down. And at this point, I will turn it back over to you, Rabbi.
Okay. So I said if you wanted to get information about the Prophecy Conference, you can call us if you have a pen at 276-644-1678. It's 276-644-1678. That's our office. Just leave us your name and phone number. We'll call you back and let you know, give you information about the conference. Or you can go... on Facebook, too, for Zion's Sake Ministries, the one with the picture of the blood red moon on the that's the Prophecy Conference. You'll see information there on Facebook, or you can go to Ari Yehuda, A-R-I, and then the second word is Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, Ari Yehuda, and Messianic Congregation, and then we have information about the Prophecy Conference there. So please come and join us.
We do have a registration fee.
Oh, yes, it's $12. There's a small registration fee of $12 to help us cover the cost of a sound man and some other things. But we will be taking love offerings at the conference, and it's going to be... I believe God has something big for this. I mean... He's having it on Tish B'Av, which is the day the temple was destroyed twice in history. And I didn't plan that. I did not plan it in my mind to have it on Tish B'Av, but that's when the prophecy conference is, the same day in history when the temple was destroyed. And so this is totally a God thing as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so let's prepare our hearts. Leviticus 27 verse 30 tells us that if you don't tithe, you can use your tithe to go to Disney World. You can use your tithe to go to Walmart. You can use your tithe to go to Food City. You can use your tithe to go to Six Flags. But it says that if you don't give your tithe to the Lord, it says you owe God 20%. So if you use your tithe for something else, you just owe God 20%. So if you've been not been giving your tithe for the last 20 years, you may want to get on your face and repent and ask God to forgive you, because you probably owe him a lot of money. So with that said, we invite, if you would like to give at home, you can give on our website, www.forzionsake.org, and you can go to the donate section. If you would like to contribute and be part of the opportunity to give God what is his already, his tithe. And those who want to give an offering, he will bless you for that as well. So we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And our now I have one thing I'd like to just, before we do, we have a couple here. Sandra and Ed Platts are in the back there. Would you all stand up, guys? And maybe just step up to the front for a second so I can tell everybody what's going on with you. The Platts's, Sandra's mother died a couple of months ago, and all her mother's belongings and many of Sandra's belongings and wedding pictures and Ed's motorcycle and guitar and things were in storage. A tornado came through and hit the storage building in Minnesota, and almost mysteriously, the Triumph motorcycle is gone, and the guitar is gone, and somehow all these things disappeared. The people that they talked to up there, you know, they're just not there anymore. The tornado must have swept them away, you know. Anyway, there's some valuables. You know, if anybody has lost a mother or a parent, and you want to have something to hold on to that belongs to them. And Sandra and Ed, they're going to make a pilgrimage up there to Minnesota, but they need help to get a U-Haul. So we're going to take an offering today. Our special offering in the basket in the middle there will be for the Platts's, and you can just mark that if you're going to give a special offering for the Platts's to help them. They need to raise about $500. And we'll write a check. Don't make a check to them. Write it to us, to For Zion's Sake, and we'll give them one check, and we'll make sure it goes to the U-Haul or wherever. So if you'd like to contribute and help the Platts's get a U-Haul and come back from get the remainder of the belongings before they're auctioned off in August. So God bless you for helping this family. I know they appreciate it, and thank you, Ed and Sandra. You can see.
Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises, all you people, sing praises.
second. Please pray that that goes well and that we get bring Paul in on December 2nd to come and minister to us. Keep that in your prayers, please.
When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. For the Lord is the giver of law. It is He who's enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings. It is He who will save and victory bring. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter. The nations will scatter. The nations will flee. At the thunder, the thunder of your voice, the thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. At the thunder of your voice, the thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. For the Lord is the giver of law.
Fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho.
the walls came tumbling down. Way up on the walls of Jericho, they marched with spear in hand. Now blow those trumpets, Joshua cried, 'cause the battle is in God's hand. Fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And the shofars began to blow, and the trumpets began.
Sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory.
look for your way. We look for the, the path that you're giving us, Lord. We look for your plan. We've made so many of our own plans along the way. We've looked to so many different things, Father. But we ask, Lord, that you make our path straight and you shine the light on our next step, Lord. Because we know you're the one who holds us in your hand. That you never fail us, you never leave us, you never disappoint us. You're always come through. And here we stand at your throne, and we ask, Lord, that you take us as an offering.
I will praise Yeshua day. Odecha bechol lippi. Odecha bechol nafshi. Odecha bechol lippi. With all my heart, Lord, hineni. Odecha bechol lippi. Odecha bechol nafshi. Odecha bechol lippi. I will praise Yeshua day.
Praise the Lord. It's time to come to the Lord's table. I did want to mention something before we do. What was it that needs to be mentioned? I want to let you know to keep the Matthews in your prayers. They're going through a difficult time right now. So please keep them in your prayers. We're going to go to the Lord's table, and I'm going to ask our sister from England,
Maria,
would you come, Maria? Maria, what is a proper British accent? She doesn't have one. She doesn't have a proper British accent. She just got back from England. And Maria, would you come and serve today?
Serve a spot of tea.
Did you have... Did you have, She was on holiday. Did you have tea and crumpets? Tea and pasties. Cornish pasties? Well, you're doing pretty good with that British accent, I'd say. I don't know. Just had to bring it out. Jean, would you like to come and serve today? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. What else did you have? Did you have shepherd's pie? She didn't. If you're at home and you'd like to join us, we're going to come to the Lord's table. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. It was on that Passover night when Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, called the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He also took the afikomen of Passover, the middle layer of matzah, and he said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we come to the Lord's table every week to remember that Yeshua, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, conquering the power of sin and death and giving us hope of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, not just for a year, but for as long as we live, once we believe in him. And we know that our names are inscribed in the book of life already, because the prophet Daniel saw them in there, and then he closed the book until the end of days, until the very end of time. Daniel sealed the books. You can read that in Daniel 12 and Daniel 7. The books were opened, and then Daniel closed the books and sealed them up until the judgment day. So if your name, Daniel saw your name in the book of life, and so if you're in there, he know it's already in there. It's just a question of you coming to him in time. In the fullness of time, there's a mystery between your free will and God's sovereignty, but God knows who's going to say yes to him. And so before we come to the Lord's table, let's bow our heads, and let's pray and close our eyes. If you don't know if your name is in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, that Daniel opened and saw those names and saw my name and many people here, and then he closed the book and sealed it up for the judgment day. If you don't know if your name's in the book of life and you'd like to know for sure and you'd like to find out, all you have to do is just ask Yeshua to forgive your sins, to come into your heart and live, pour his Holy Spirit into you, cleanse you, and give you a new life. So let's just bow our heads. If there's anyone here who is not sure if your name is written in the book of life, just raise your hand. Do you know for sure that your name is in the book of life of the Lamb of God? Just raise your hand if you're not sure. Hallelujah. Okay, and if you're at home and you're watching us today and you don't know if your name is in the Lamb's book of life, all you have to do is just tell Yeshua, that you have, Lord, just say, "Lord, I have messed up. I have broken your laws, and I'm sorry that I've done that. I have trespassed against you and you only. I have messed it up. And Lord, I need your forgiveness. I would like your Son to come into my life. I'd like you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me and in me, and cleanse me and write my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua, in Jesus' name. And you do that on your own. You can do it in the privacy of your home, in your car, wherever you are today. And you can ask the Lord to come into your life. And if you're watching, we ask that you please contact us. Email us, Facebook us, just contact us. Let us know that you're watching. We like to know so that we can kind of gauge how we're reaching folks with our TV on the internet. So please contact our ministry and or give us a message on Facebook or an email. Thank you. And God bless you all. And folks here, prepare your hearts to come. I always would repent and confess my sins before I came to the Lord's table. And I encourage you to do the same. So as these ladies prepare to serve you, just prepare your hearts and come as you're ready. Amen.
God of our fathers, ruler of the heavens, King over all the earth, the Almighty God, power and strength. Stand against thee, shall you?
good to be able to come to the Lord's table. For 30 years of my life, I couldn't come. You know, I used to go to the, sometimes I would go visit the Catholic Church because there's a lot of Catholics in Boston. I'd go with my friends and they would never let me come. But now I can come. And not only that, I probably know the Lord better than most of them did. That's sad but true. Most of my Catholic friends didn't have a clue who Jesus was, but they would go take the Eucharist. And I guess we need to pray for your Catholic friends. And but thank God that we know the Lord and we're in His book. Amen. Amen. L'chaim, to life. And we let Catholics come. I ever tell you about the priest who yelled at me for taking the Eucharist? Save it for another day. Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the word of the Lord, the message today. Thank you, Charlie. I'll put it over here in the water, please. So today's message is called We Delight in Your Shabbat. And if you don't know what Shabbat is, thank you. If you don't know what Shabbat is, Shabbat means Sabbath. It means it's the Hebrew word for Sabbath. So the name of today's message is We Delight in Your Shabbat. And if you're interested in learning more about the Shabbat after this message, there's a small book. I have three of them here upstairs, two on the table out there. They're not very expensive. They're less than $10. So it's called The Sabbath, Entering God's Rest by Barry and Steffi Rubin. So we're going to look at some things today about the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath still relevant? Is the Sabbath still, who is it for? Is it for the Jewish people? Is it for the Gentiles? Is it for, who did God intend the Sabbath for? Is it still relevant? Is the Sabbath still relevant in the Bible? Does God still want us to keep the Sabbath? You know, and so we're going to look at these things, and we're going to look at the blessings of the Sabbath, as well as what the Old Testament had to say about the Sabbath. So let's pray for the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and thank you for your anointing. Now, Lord, pour out your spirit on me, Lord. Empty me of Joe. Empty me of myself, Lord. And bring forth your word. Make me a vessel, Lord, of your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. And help me to anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our eyes to see, Lord, what you have to say to us today. And let your word go forth. Your word does not return void. The Bible says the word of the Lord does not return void. So we pray, Lord, that your word would not return void, and we bind the enemy, we bind the strong man, we take authority in this house today in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, is Mr. Isaac here? Where did he go? He went outside? Okay, he's supposed to be videotaping the message in the front or for Facebook. Could somebody get him? Is he in the bathroom? Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord for my on-time son. Hallelujah. Okay, we delight in your Shabbat. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58:13. Could somebody else take charge of the broadcasting on live stream on Facebook? We advertised that we're going to do it live, and it really, somebody who knows how to do it on my page, and the title is We Delight in Your Shabbat. Isaiah 58:13. Does anybody know how to use Facebook? Diane, do you know how to do it? Does anybody know how to use Facebook? Anybody? Somebody here, please. Can I just bring it to me? I'll do it. All right. Okay. Okay. Sorry for the delay, folks. We like to broadcast this for the folks at home. Amen. And my son was supposed to be doing this. You all ought to get Facebook. You really should. If you want to, you know, it's important so you can keep up with what's going on in the congregation and things that I'm teaching. It's good. Good idea. Trying to get letters here. Here, just wait. There you go. 3, 2, 1. It's going. Okay. Isaiah 58:13, we delight in your Shabbat. Let's read it. Isaiah 58:13. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a day, Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'll say it again, verse 13. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure. How many people are not here today because they're out doing their own pleasure? Because they're out mowing their lawns, because they're out at shopping at the Pinnacle, because they're out at the movies, because they're out at the pool, because they're out on water skis or fishing at the lake or whatever. How many people are not in these seats today because they don't know? They don't even know today is the Lord's Sabbath. But God says, he says in verse 13, and call the Sabbath a delight. He doesn't say call it a burden. He doesn't say call it an albatross around your shoulders. He doesn't say call it a sack of flour on your shoulders. He says, call it a delight. And if you've ever experienced Shabbat, the Sabbath, you know it is a delight. The Sabbath is a delight. We delight in it. And Sabbath is different. Messianic Judaism, we're not a denomination. You know, for folks who are watching, this is not a denomination of Christianity. This is the revival of the Jewish people. This is the revival of the Jewish people. This is end time prophecy. What you're looking at by looking at me is what God said in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 28, that in the last days, when the Jewish people are in distress, that we would return to the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul, if we would seek him with all our heart, and we would return to him. And I am the product of doing that. In my distress in the latter days, I sought the Lord with all my heart and all my soul, and here I am standing before you in a Jewish house. Everybody say, this is a Jewish house. I bought it. My name's on the deed, and I'm a Jew. This is a Jewish house, okay? And that's where Sabbath is to take place, in a Jewish house. And I said to the Lord when I came here many years ago, I said, Lord, there's Seventh-day Adventist churches, there's Baptist churches, there's Protestant churches, there's all kinds of Pentecostal churches. What do you need me for? And I'm going to tell you why. Okay, so let's begin Exodus 31. You can go back to Exodus 31. Well, actually, let's go to Genesis 1. Let's go to the beginning. Sabbath, by the way, predated the law. Some people say, well, we don't need to keep the Sabbath because Sabbath is part of the law of Moses, and that Jesus did away with the Sabbath. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that Yeshua, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, does Lord of the Sabbath mean that he took away the Sabbath, or does it mean he's Lord of the Sabbath? I'll let you stand before God and tell him he took it away. I'm going to tell him, hey, Lord of the Sabbath, nice to see you. there was evening and there was morning the third day. Let's get down to about the seventh day. And there was evening and morning. Boy, there's a lot going on there in Genesis. God was doing a lot of stuff, I'm telling you. Like, he was busy. He was working. He was creating the birds and the trees and the monkeys and the bees. He was creating it all. And he blessed them. And then God said, let us make man in our image, verse 26. He said, let us. In other words, it's very interesting. God said, let us make man in our image. Who's us? He's talking about God the Father. He's talking about Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, all three separate persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to point that out to you for a minute. Some people think that Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, and the Father is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew 1:19, it says the Holy Spirit conceived a child in Mary. Okay, Mary conceived a son by the Holy Spirit. Well, if Jesus is the Holy Spirit, can he be his own father? Come on. If Yeshua is the Holy Spirit, if he is the same, not equal, but he is equal, but if he's the same as the Holy Spirit, can he conceive himself? Come on. The Father can do it, the Holy Spirit can do it, but somebody else has to do it. He can't conceive himself. So God the Father is separate from God the Son, and God the Son is separate from God the Holy Spirit, and they are all echad in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. So let's go on. Now that I've given that brief lesson on oneness and that the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are different persons. It says, okay, in chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day. Everybody say, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. The only day that God blessed, and now let's say God blessed it at creation. Does the blessing stop? Did the blessing stop in when Alexander the Great conquered Persia? Did the blessing stop when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, when God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy? Did the blessing stop when Cro-Magnon man came upon the earth? Did the blessing stop when Tyrannosaurus Rex ran around devouring creatures and pterodactyls flew in the skies? Did the blessing stop when the sharks were created millions of years ago in the ocean? No, it didn't. The blessing never ends. When God blesses something, he blesses it until he says it's over. And if you can show me where he says that he took away the blessing of the Sabbath, I'd like to see that, you know. You can prove that to me. He didn't do it. He blessed this day and he made it holy. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified means he blessed it and he made it holy. Now let's turn. Holy means he set the Sabbath day apart. He set Shabbat. Okay, I'm going to start calling it Shabbat. So everybody say Shabbat. Shabbat. I'm going to start calling it Shabbat. That's the Hebrew name for Sabbath. That's Shabbat. Okay, turn to Exodus 31 and we're going to talk about Shabbat. Or as some of my local friends call it, Shabbat. Shabbat. Okay, Exodus 31, verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death.'" Okay, so there was a death penalty. If you profane the Sabbath, your penalty, the penalty of God under the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, was death for breaking the Sabbath. "For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign, as a perpetual covenant. Who shall do it? The sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath." Did God say the nations? Did God say the Gentiles? Hello? No. He didn't say the nations. He didn't say the Gentiles. He says the sons of Israel shall keep the Shabbat. Don't worry, you're in here. I'm going to get to you. He says the sons of Israel shall keep the Shabbat as a perpetual covenant throughout their generations. It is a sign, verse 17, between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. And you know what the word sign is? It's oat. See this ring on my finger? This sign, an oat, is a token. It's like a ring, like an engagement ring is an oat. Okay? This is the Sabbath was God's engagement ring to his people, that he was betrothing himself to them in marriage, and he's going to marry them. This is the sign that we would be that God's people Israel would be the bride of the Messiah, that we are the bride of the Messiah, and those who are grafted in to God's people become part of the bride. But the sign of the covenant is whether you keep the Sabbath or not. Now, we haven't gotten to the part about Gentiles, and we're going to get there, so just bear with me. But the word oat, that verse right there, means is like a wedding ring, is a sign, it's a token. This means that the Sabbath was God's wedding ring, his engagement ring, and to celebrate the Sabbath throughout our generations is a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed when he had finished speaking. Okay, so I'm going to stop there about that. So the sign of the Sabbath is God's engagement ring for his bride. So the sign, who is the bride of Christ? Those who keep the Shabbat. Who is the bride of Christ? Those who keep the Shabbat, the Sabbath, are the bride of Christ. Now, Revelation 19:7, if you turn there for a second, hold your place in Exodus, turn to Revelation 19:7. And you know there's guests at the wedding? There's a big guest list. But not everybody is the bride. And being the bride is one of the blessings of the Sabbath. Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready, and it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So God is standing there with his bride at the altar, and meanwhile there's an audience of multitudes of believers who are invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Surprise! Not saying you are. I'm saying there's a lot of folks out there mowing their lawns today who are knowledge. You know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And there's people out there clueless because they just don't want to know. One lady said to me one time, I was trying to tell her about some Jewish stuff. She was bringing this Hebraic teacher to the Tri-Cities. I was trying to explain to her something, and she said, I'm just a dumb old Baptist. That's what she said. I'm just a dumb old Baptist. You know what? That doesn't fly with God. You can say I'm a dumb old Baptist. I'm a dumb old Methodist. That doesn't fly with God. You're going to have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and tell him why you were stupid. And it ain't going to fly. Your excuse isn't going to pass muster. It's going to be standing before the judge in court. Hey, oh, judge, I didn't mean to drive 150 miles an hour. I didn't know I was going over the speed limit in my 250-horsepower motorcycle. And I just didn't realize that I was breaking the speed limit when those three police cars were chasing me down Highway 394. And then I wiped out and flew 140 feet through the air and landed in a cow patty. So, forgive me, Judge, but I didn't know I was breaking the law. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Okay, so is the death penalty... Let's talk about one thing. First of all, before we get to Jew and Gentile, and that's I'm saving the good stuff, the meat. Okay, but turn to Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. Is there still a penalty, a death penalty, for those who don't keep the Sabbath? It says in Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So that means there is no more death penalty if you don't keep the Sabbath. So fortunately for those folks out there mowing their lawns, fishing on the lake, swimming, having a good old time, and going to the mall, going shopping, going to Food City, sleeping in, taking it easy, kicking back, partying, going to the beach, there's no death penalty for them if they're in Christ, if they're in Messiah, for not observing the Sabbath together with the Jewish people. However, there's no blessing in it either. And you're going to see what the blessings are. So there is no death penalty anymore. You don't have to, you say, y'all, you don't have to do this. You get to. We don't have to do this. We get to do it. This is not a, you must do this. You have to do this. This is an, I get to do this. Okay? It's not, this is not, it's not God cracking the whip on you and saying, you know, go to Sabbath and suffer. You know, I mean, come on. I don't know. I have a good time. Wendell, do you have a good time?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have a good time here. So when we have Sabbath, we're not a denomination. We don't have a one-hour service. We have service lasts a long time. We start at 10:45. We end about 1:30 or so, 1:45. Then we have lunch. We have fellowship. Sabbath is the whole day. It's Saturday. It's the seventh day. Now how, why do I say it's Saturday? Well, because the Jews celebrated on Saturday. If you go to Israel, today is the Sabbath. And Sabado, the Spanish people have no problem understanding when the Sabbath is, because Sabado means Sabbath, the seventh day. Lunes, martes, miércoles, jueves, viernes, sábado, domingo. Sunday is the first day. And what's that? Yeah, Sunday is the first day of the week. That's right. Amen. So Sabbath, sábado, this is sábado, this is Saturday, this is Sabbath. Okay? So when Hispanic people get a revelation of the Sabbath, it's very clear to them that it's Saturday. If you turn to Matthew 28, the Bible tells us when the Sabbath is. Matthew 28, verse 1. If you go to Israel, you'll know very easily and quickly on a Friday night, Sabbath begins. It was evening, it was morning the first day. There was evening, there was morning the second day. There was morning the third day and the seventh day. So, the day begins in the evening, and the day ends the day, the sundown of the next night. So Sabbath began last night at sunset, and it ends tonight on Saturday night. Okay? So let's look in Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene... Ooh, what did I just say? Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn the first day toward the first day of the week. Domingo. Sunday. What's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
The first day of the week is Sunday. It's not Sabbath. Today is Sabbath. So it says right here in Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, and praise the Lord, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it, and his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Praise the Lord. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Yeshua, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lay. Hallelujah. He is risen. He rose from the dead sometime in the night of Saturday night, early in the morning, before the sun rose. Before what? That's right. Before anybody was doing anything, that's for sure. Unless somebody didn't sleep well, you know. They couldn't sleep. But so anyway, let's talk about the Gentiles and the Sabbath. All right. First of all, let's look at Isaiah. This is very interesting. Let's look at Isaiah 56. How do they say that in English, Maria? Isaiah? They say Isaiah. Isaiah. Please turn to Isaiah 56. I'm going to bust your chops forever. I'm just kidding. I'll never forget, I went to Liverpool, England. Everywhere in England, they say something different. So in Liverpool, they say cheers, cheers. Everybody says cheers. And we say cheers here when we're having a drink, right? You know, people say cheers. But in England, they say cheers. Just when they greet you, they say cheers. In Liverpool, in certain parts of England, they say cheers up in the north. I remember I met these three girls, my wife and I, and one was, they gave us their names. They said, what are your names? One said, Tracy. I said, Tracy? She said, no, Tracy. I said, Tracy? She said, no, Tracy. I said, what? I don't understand. Teresa. 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 probably no English people watching us today. Probably they probably are. They're probably all watching us today. All right, Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath. How blessed. Say that, how blessed. And keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner. Who's the foreigner? The Gentile. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Well, this is Isaiah. So who are God's people in Isaiah? The Jews, right? So he's saying, Let not the Gentile, the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, the Lord will surely separate me. Let not the Lord say, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the people, to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Shabbats and who choose what pleases me, not mowing the lawn, not going to the mall, not going to the movies, not going to the lake, not going to the beach, once in a while, but be in synagogue, be celebrating Shabbat on Shabbat. Hallelujah. And choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my name. Here's more of a blessing. Another blessing God promises to you. To you, he's saying, I will give you a name in his house, within my walls, a memorial, he says. You guys who keep the Shabbat. And a name better than that of sons and daughters. Wow. A better name than sons and daughters. Maybe it's bride. Ooh, hair just stood up on the back of my neck. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning Shabbat and holds fast my covenant. Okay, stop there for a second. All right. Their burnt offering, let's go a little further. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Okay, so wait a second here. So he says to the, let's read that again, verse 6. Also the foreigner, that's the Gentile, who joins himself to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning Shabbat and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. Stop there. Now hold your place and turn to Numbers 15. How can a Gentile keep Shabbat and bring an offering to the Lord? Let's read this. Numbers 15, verse 14. And 15 and 16 and 17. Okay. Numbers 15, 14. If an alien, there's like a foreigner, sojourns or dwells with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing... Oh, wait a second. What did we just read in Isaiah 56? Your burnt offerings will be acceptable? Oh my, how will they be acceptable? He says, here's the answer. If an alien dwells with you, that's the key, comes to congregation. If an alien dwells with you, and one who may be among you throughout your generations, not just for 2 weeks or a month, or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but who dwells among you throughout your generations, wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, just as I do, so shall he do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you, and or one law, and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Praise the Lord. Who gets to bring burnt offerings before the Lord? Anyone who sojourns, the Jew, and anyone who sojourns with the Jew, who dwells with him. Amen. So you're in a Jewish house. This is not a church. This is not Christianity. We believe in the Messiah Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, but we are not Christians. I am not a Christian. You may be a Christian. I am not a Christian. I'm not a Protestant. I wasn't raised in the Protestant church. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not in the Church of Christ. I'm not a Catholic. I'm Jewish. Never joined anything else. Never was. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not an evangelical, evangelical free church, holiness, Pentecostal, whatever, charismatic, non-denominational Christian. I'm a Messianic Jew. Hallelujah. And this is a synagogue. And those who come here and dwell among us from among the nations are entitled to, there is one law, one Torah, and one people for those who dwell with the Jews. But there is not one law and one people. There's people out there who are faking it, not making it, and those who are pretending to be Jews who believe that the Torah is for them are full of baloney. Because God says, let not the Lord separate me from his people. The key to observing God's feasts, his Sabbaths, and to bringing offerings to the Lord in the house of Israel. Remember, who shall celebrate the Shabbat? The house of Israel will celebrate it, Exodus 31, as a perpetual covenant forever. Forever. So who gets to do it? You do. Because you're here. But God says, don't do it. This is not a dog and pony show. This is not a trivia show. This is live God TV. I mean, not God TV, the station. This is reality. This is God's reality. Keeping Shabbat. This is not something, oh, I'm just going to check out that Messianic Jewish synagogue. That's fine to come check us out. But what I'm saying is, for those of you who get the revelation, this is a lifetime. This is a lifestyle. This is a commitment. This is Ruth saying, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And wherever you go, I will go. And where you die, I will die. That's the commitment of the Messianic Gentile. It's the Ruth pledge. It's the Ruth pledge. It's saying, wherever you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. And where you die, I will die. This is not a church. We believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, was buried 3 days and three nights, rose from the dead in Israel, that he's Jewish, that he's going to sit on a Jewish throne, David's throne, in Israel, in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on a Jewish throne and be the king of the Jews and of the world forever. and ever and ever. Amen? And that you're part of it because you're sojourning. Everybody say, I'm sojourning. With the Jewish people. And therefore, I'm entitled to all the blessings that God offers to the sojourner. And let's read on here in Isaiah 56. Well, he says he's going to give you, verse 5, a name better than that of sons and daughters. And to the foreigner, verse 6, I will to them who joins themselves to the Lord, to minister to the Lord, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful. So he's not saying to all the Gentiles, is he? He's not saying that. He's not saying to all the church, is he? He's saying to all those, go back up to verse 3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord. Are there a lot of foreigners who are Christians? Are there a lot of Gentiles who are Christians? Non-Jews? Formerly Gentiles? Right? But do they keep the Shabbat? Then he goes on and says, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. So he says, let not the Lord, the Gentile, who joined himself to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people who are Jews. Right? This is Isaiah, right? Who are God's people in the book of Isaiah? The Jews. So there's a lot of people out there who are joined to the Lord, right? But they're not joined to the Jews. They are not joined to the Jewish people. And therefore, Shabbat is not for them. That's why they worship on Sunday. Sunday is for them. Now, is there anything wrong with Sunday? Nope. Sunday's a great day to worship. It's not Shabbat, though. Veterans Day isn't Columbus Day. Columbus Day isn't Christmas. Christmas isn't Secretary's Day. Secretary's Day isn't Hanukkah. Hanukkah isn't the 4th of July. 4th of July is a Memorial Day. Memorial Day isn't Labor Day. Capiche? Okay. And Sabbath isn't Sunday. And so, Sabbath is for the Gentile who dwells. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, go to Ezekiel 47. I'm almost done, by the way. Are you enjoying this? You see, there's so much meat in God's Word that people have no clue, have no idea. There's so much more. Ezekiel 47:21. Okay, it sounds like Joshua talking, but it's the prophet Ezekiel. And it sounds like he's talking about what Anthony was saying, entering the land, taking the land. He says, so you shall divide this land among yourselves, according to the tribes of Israel. You shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves. So Ezekiel's talking about sometime in the future. You shall divide this land, in verse 22, by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens. Why did he say aliens and foreigners? Why did Moses say foreigners? Why did Ezekiel say aliens? Does anybody know? Because they saw you. Everybody say they saw me. They didn't know who I was. They saw you in the spirit. They saw you coming, but they didn't know who you were. So they called you aliens. You looked funny. They'd never seen a tie like that. Wendell? Okay, so let's go on here. So verse 21, so you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. So you divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst, and they shall be to you as the native born among the sons of Israel. They shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. who of the aliens and the Gentiles who dwell, who sojourn with the Jews, will be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel? Who? The sojourner, the alien who dwells with the Jew, right? That's what it says. You shall be allotted an inheritance. And who it says, who shall give it to you? No, it doesn't say that. It says, you shall divide this land, verse 21, among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. You shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens who stay in your midst. Who shall divide it? You shall, Jews, who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst, and they shall be to you as native born. That means for the Gentile who sojourns, the Christian, who dwells among the Messianic Jews, among the sons of Israel, they shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. Read on. And in the tribe, here's the key, verse 23, and in the tribe with which the alien stays there, you, Jobel, shall give him his inheritance, declares the Lord. It's the Messianic Jew who gives the non-Jew who dwells among us. Now, I don't look at you and say, well, there's Greg the Gentile. You know, I don't say there's Wendell the non-Jew. I don't look at you and see you that way. But this is God's way of explaining it, if that makes any sense. I see you as people who love God and want to know your Jewish Messiah. It's not about me, it's about him. Amen. And I'm just here to teach you about your Jewish Messiah and about the Jewish roots of your faith, which you're not going to get in most places out there. Good preaching, Rabbi. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 now. There's a big mistake. People think, all I need is Jesus. I'm going to write a song. All I need is Jesus. No, I need the Jewish people too. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Please, we'll edit that one out. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants. Hold your place there. Now go back to Isaiah 56. Hold your place. Go back to Isaiah 56. Verse 6. Also, the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord, and who are, verse 3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. In other words, to the Gentile who joins the Lord and to the Jewish people, the believing Jews. Verse 6 now, also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, to even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. Where will you bring your burnt offerings? Where? Can't hear. What altar? Where? Jerusalem. 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 Do, 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 do. Hosanna in the highest. Dum, bum, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum. Jerusalem. Where are you going to bring your sacrifice? To the temple in Jerusalem. Is anybody getting this? Okay? You got to be connected to the Jews to bring your sacrifice to the Jewish temple where David is the king, sitting on David's throne, where Jesus is the king, sitting on David's throne. Glory to God! I'm going to be Pentecostal now. Woo! Somebody get excited. Besides me. So we'll go back to Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Okay, so what gave you the right? Okay, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups. Who are the both groups? Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Amen. Who brought both groups, praise the Lord, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. What's the key for the Gentile to not be separate from Christ, to not be separate from the commonwealth of Israel, verse 12, to not be strangers to the covenants of promise? It means having, knowing the Messiah and being one with his people. Being sojourners, dwelling with the Jewish people, gives you the right to celebrate Shabbat, gives you the right to celebrate Passover, gives you the right to bring an offering to God in his holy temple, gives you the right to have the name better than sons and daughters, gives you the right to his temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, and that your name will be in there. Praise the Lord. Capiche? A lot of blessings for the Gentile who joins himself to the Lord and to his people, the Jews. Anybody not understand what I'm saying? Numbers 15. Let's just go back and review this for a second. The key to being able to do what, you know, why do Gentiles worship on Sunday? Because God, if they're not going to worship with Jews, God doesn't want them keeping Shabbat. Sunday's there for a reason. It's because Shabbat's for Jews and sojourners, for Gentiles who join with us. Because there's special blessings attached to the Gentile who joins with the Jew. And God's not going to give it to all the Gentiles. He's only going to give it to the ones who join with the Jews. It's as simple as that. So that's why Sunday worship is so popular, because most people don't get the blessings. They don't know it. They don't understand it. Like the lady said to me, and no offense to the Baptist, she said to me when I was teaching her about Jewish stuff, she said, "I'm just a dumb old Baptist." Well, okay, go be a dumb old Baptist. Numbers 15, the law of the sojourner. Numbers 15, 14. If an alien sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be. There's no difference between you and me. Before the Lord, there's one Torah, one law, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Amen. Amen? That's your right. And that is and it's available. God doesn't discriminate. Anybody who's a Christian can come in here and join us. We invite you, Christians watching, I invite you to come and sojourn with Israel and celebrate his Shabbat and get the blessings, a name better than sons and daughters. Don't just be a guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Be the bride. This is the Sabbath is the sign of the covenant of marriage. Join the covenant. Be the bride. Be the bride waiting for her groom to come back, because that's who the bride really is. In case you didn't know, come join us and be part of the bride. The word I have made the Sabbath a sign in Exodus 31. An everlasting covenant. It's a sign between me and the people of children of Israel forever, God said. He didn't say a sign between me and the nations. He said a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, says the Lord. And the word sign is the same word as ring, like a wedding ring. It's a betrothal. This is the wedding ring. This is the engagement ring. Shabbat is God's engagement ring to his people, Jew and Gentile, who come together. The key is for the Gentile to come into the house of a Jew, not the Seventh-day Adventists. That's not the answer. Why did God send a Messianic Jew down south to teach Christians about this stuff? Because Christians were doing it wrong. God doesn't want Christians doing Passover. He doesn't want Christians studying Torah. Torah isn't for Christians. Torah is for Messianic people. Torah, because you have to be with the Jews. God gave the Torah to Moses and to the Jewish people. And so if you're gonna study and observe and celebrate these things that God gave the Jews, his rule, not mine, if I haven't made this clear, his rule, not mine, is that you come into the house of a Jew and do it with the Jew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people get it. If you don't get it, God bless you. Maybe it'll click. But basically, all these things of the Jews. Why does the church do Christmas and not Hanukkah? Why does the church do Easter and not Passover? Because God didn't want them to. God didn't want. There is not one law and one people. It's not the same Torah. The law of Moses and the law of the Jewish people is not the same for the nations. It's only for the nations who dwell with the Jewish people. It's not. So people out there, listen, guys, if I put on a three-piece suit and a pocket watch and had a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock and got a 1611 King James Bible and called this New Hampshire Avenue Southern Baptist Church, would I be genuine? No. If I got a wooden cross and put a sash across it, a red sash for Pentecost or a purple sash, and I put on a robe and a colorful, robe like a Methodist preacher does, and I got up here and said, this is on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and said, this is New Hampshire Avenue United Methodist Church, would I be genuine? Is anybody awake? I would be Methodist? No, I wouldn't be a Methodist. I'd be a liar. So when some Christian dude grabs a Torah and starts teaching Torah and puts on a prayer shawl, y'all, and puts on a prayer shawl or starts blowing shofars, nowadays they take the stuff off because they don't, they want to hide it now. They want to pretend, we'll just teach a little Torah. We'll teach Torah. And we'll teach Shabbat, and we'll teach the feasts, but we won't wear the stuff because we don't want people to know that we're Gentiles pretending to be Jews. So we'll pretend to be Gentiles doing Torah. It's phony as a $3 bill. Every Jewish, Hebraic, two-house Ephraimite baloney congregation out there that's pretending to be Jewish, that isn't led by a Jew or sanctioned by a Messianic Jewish authority like the MJAA or the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations and Synagogues is faking it. They're lying to you. They've put Yahweh in their Bibles, a name which is not in there in the New Testament. If you have one of their Bibles and you have a New Testament and it says Yahweh, I can tell you, you can go to any New Testament Greek scholar at King College or that Christian University, Liberty University, or the place in Johnson City, and talk to a professor of New Testament. Give them a call and say, "Professor, in any of the 500 manuscripts of the New Testament in Greek, is the sacred name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh, Jehovah, is that name mentioned anywhere in the New Testament?" And you know what their answer will be? No. It's not in there. But people will hand you these Bibles as gifts, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful Bibles. God says in Revelation, anyone who changes so much as a word of this book will have their name removed from the book of life. So they've put the name Yahweh in the New Testament. But you know what the name for the Father is in the New Testament in Greek? In all of the manuscripts? It's three names used. Pater, Father, Abba, Daddy in Aramaic or Father. And the third name is Kurios, which means in English, Lord, or Adonai, Lord in Hebrew. Adonai, Adon, Kurios means Lord, as we say in English, or in Hebrew, Adonai or Adon, or Pater, Father, or Abba. There is no equivalent attempt in any of the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament in the history of the world, in the history of all the inspired translators of the New Testament. It does not exist. So if somebody gives you one of those Bibles which says Yahweh in the New Testament section, throw it out. Get rid of it. Give it away. Throw it away. I'm not going to throw away God's word, but I wouldn't put it on a bookshelf, bury it, stick it in a drawer. It's phony. Just like I'm not a Methodist preacher. I'm not a Baptist preacher. If people want to get Jewish in this area, this is the place to do it. If people want to get closer to the God of Israel and to the link in with the Jewish people in this region, I'm the man. And lightning can strike me down. Hellfire and brimstone can fall on me if I'm not the Jew that God sent to this region 18 years ago. I call down curses on myself and thunderbolts right now. Strike me down, Lord, if I am not the Jew that you sent to this place 18 years ago to bring these people into your covenant and to bring them into the blessings of the Sabbath and the feasts. I know who I am. I know what I am, and I know who sent me. And I'll tell you something. Time is growing very, very short. Very short. And if those goofballs out there who just want to keep playing golf and go into the lake, go into the beach every week. I mean, it's one thing, take a vacation. I'm not against vacations. I like vacations myself. But I don't go every week. But those people out on their boat, weekend after weekend, golfing weekend after weekend, mowing their lawn weekend after weekend, cutting their bushes, working in their gardens, going to the grocery store, going to the mall, going to the movies. If they don't wake up and connect with the Jewish people, they're going to miss it when the Mark of the Beast is coming already in August. It's coming. It's on NBC. It's on ABC. It's in the Washington Post. It's in Fox News. They're starting to implant RFID chips into people. A corporation somewhere up in the Midwest is starting to put the chip, the Mark of the Beast, into people's hands and voluntarily to begin with. But believe me, it's already being done in the military. It's being done to pets to keep track of animals. It's coming, guys. Time is short. And the Messianic Jews have the prophetic plan. You know, we have the plan. The Mark of the Beast is here. pretty, it ain't going to be long before the Antichrist is revealed, and you're going to be scratching your head, why am I still here? Because you thought you were going to be raptured, and you were lied to, because you're still here. Praise the Lord. So you should be praising the Lord right now for what I'm saying. You should be thanking God right now. If you're not, I mean, God bless you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Well, let's first go to Luke, and then we'll close with Hebrews 4. You should be bringing your friends. You should be dragging them in here like Noah's Ark. Like Noah's Ark, you should be dragging your friends in here, kicking and screaming. God bless you. Some of you are here just by grace. You didn't even know why you're here. I tell you, for 10 years of teaching Messiah, I was a rabbi for 10 years. I didn't even know why. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing those days. And verse 14, and Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the Sabbath synagogue as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Are we supposed to do what Jesus did? Amen, Brother Joe. Amen, Brother Joe. Amen. That was the custom of our Lord, to worship on the Sabbath. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. That's my last scripture. If you need to study this, get this message. Get a copy of it, please. It's very important. Hebrews 4:9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Jesus didn't do away with the Sabbath. Now, he's talking two things here. There's a weekly Sabbath, and there's the millennial Sabbath is a Sabbath. But he's also, I wouldn't want to argue with God and say, God, I thought you meant the millennium. Therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. People of God who know Jesus but aren't joined to his people, to God's chosen people. People of God out there who want the blessings. The curse of the penalty of death of not keeping the Sabbath. You can mow your lawn. You can go play golf. As I said before, Sabbath isn't a have to, it's a get to. This isn't I have to do it, it's an I get to do it. You can go keep doing it, mowing your lawn, going to the lake, fishing, swimming, playing golf. But you won't be given a name better than that of sons and daughters. You won't receive the blessing. God said he blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. He gave the children of Israel a double portion of manna on the Sabbath, a double portion of manna. Jesus said, I am the manna that came from heaven. I'm the real manna. God wants to give you a double portion of the manna. Every Sabbath we give you a double portion. Anthony gets up and give you the first portion, and I give you the second one. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope So God bless you. I love you. God bless you, sojourners who are wise and who follow God. And if you didn't understand what I was saying today, I encourage you to get a copy of this message. Get a CD. You can go online and watch it. And those folks on Facebook, God bless you. We're glad to have you joining us today. And I pray that you all sojourn with the Lord. Let's all stand up and we'll have some prayer. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes. Not these those who may not understand, but those also who are out there who have no clue. Like the woman who said, I'm just a dumb Baptist, dumb old Baptist. Lord, open her eyes. Open their eyes, Lord, that it's not just about Jesus, but that they want you. You want them to join with the Jewish people, not just the Jewish people, but the ones who believe, the Messianic Jews, that it's your heart's desire for the world to join together with the Messianic Jewish people, to worship together, to celebrate Shabbat, that to bring an offering. Your word says to the sojourner who joins, you'll bring them into your covenants. You'll bring them into your blessings. You'll bring them. They'll be able to offer sacrifices on your altar one day in Jerusalem. When Yeshua is sitting on the throne of David, they'll be able to bring offerings and sacrifices. Lord, let them see. Open their eyes, the people of this community and who are of the world, Lord. Let the Christians see what they're missing. Let them see. Help them to understand the Jewish connection and the Jewishness of Jesus, of Yeshua. Help them to understand the blessings that Sabbath is Saturday and Sunday is Sunday. And God never intended for the church. God loves the church. And God loves the Messianic Jews. And he wants us to be one. But he never intended for the church to keep Sabbath. He never intended for the church to keep Passover. He never intended for the church to study Torah. Because unless they're connected to the Jewish people, that's the key. Numbers 15, Ezekiel, was it 21:47? These are the scriptures. So get this message. And now the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. God bless you, sojourners. And I pray that God uses you to bring other sojourners in among you. I think there's lunch served in the fellowship hall. Folks at home, we welcome you. To come and join us on Shabbat and experience Messianic Jewish worship together, Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.